The Gospel of Matthew starts off with what is regarded as the most boring passage in the Bible, probably why we didn't read it and got to start at verse 18. There's lots of begatting in the King James Version, which means fathering. This bloke fathered this other bloke and so forth. But there are some exceptions. There are five women mentioned, and the last one is Mary, who became the mother of Jesus. Another point is, of course, to give authority to the fact that Jesus has ancestors in the patriarch Abraham and King David. Now, if you want a saucy sermon, you've come to the right place. Matthew chapter 1 leads us right into it. In the list of the first 17 verses, which we didn't read, we started at 18, there was Bathsheba. King David used his power to kill Uriah and take this beautiful wife. Ruth seduced Boaz on the threshing floor at night to ensure her family's survival. Rahab, a prostitute, and Tamar in Genesis pretended to be one. Why were these four earlier women mentioned when we really only need the male line? We'll come back there later. So Mary tells Joseph that she is pregnant. A difficult discussion, to say the least. I wonder how it was said. But let's take into account the beliefs of 2,000 years ago in ancient Israel about babies and where they came from. The ancient Hebrews, birds and bees. Although people could often see likenesses in a child to the mother, it was believed that the mother was like a fertile field and the father implanted his seed. So the baby was of the father, just as a plant grows true to the seed. We now understand genetics and conception and know that each gamete has half the chromosomes that on fertilization make the new individual. So why am I telling you this? It's important in this case because Joseph would not regard himself as a father. He would be an adoptive father if the message of the angel were true. It's important because of the implication is, in this case, of being conceived by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the child would take on the attributes fully of the Holy Spirit. Joseph now has some decisions to make and weigh some things up. Remember, he is what's called a righteous man. Righteous just means doing what is right. It's about the same in its original meaning as just, from which we get the word justice. Based on or behaving according to what is morally right and fair. So weigh that up, Joseph. The passage mentions exposing Mary to public disgrace. If deserted by Joseph, Mary would be probably unmarriable, and if she survived the child, would be brought up in conditions where the mother is poor, powerless, or a prostitute, or all three. Joseph could be blamed for fathering the child and also be ostracized in his own community. Of course, even apart from a sense of hurt and betrayal he would be feeling, Joseph had his own reputation to think of, and sticking with Mary was a no-win for him. If it became known that this girl was carrying someone else's child, he'd be humiliated. And if it was thought that the child was his reputation as a respectable, honourable young man was shot since they weren't married yet. Premarital sex might not cause much angst nowadays, but it sure did then. Either way, he loses. Just this week, to illuminate this discussion a little bit, Pam and I heard, two modern discussions that are relevant to this historical conception. Christian Palestinian women discussing the severe social repercussions to the family of having a child born out of wedlock. That's the extended family. And also, the other discussion, protesters in Iran, both male and female, who are taken by the morality police or the security forces and are sexually abused in prison. It is so shameful to them that they suicide soon after. So the social norms of the time required Joseph to desert Mary in her predicament. The angel is giving him more information, but he's the only one with this information. Society would still condemn. Who's going to believe him? DNA testing wasn't around for another 1800 years. Joseph doesn't make the right choice, or the righteous choice in this case. He makes the loving choice. He believes the angel and will support Mary and the baby through the birth, and as he can for the rest of their lives. One of the most damaging views of Christianity is that Christianity is about how to behave morally according to a set of rules. Jesus died for you, now behave. Gay people, people with habits or addictions, the poor, the abused, have felt left out as they can't meet the standards. How quickly we forget that we all can't meet the standards. Back to the four women in the lineage. Note that these are not heroic, virtuous women. They all have Gentile connections. These women are all associated with sexual activity, some of which is highly controversial. The value of a woman is not in her virginity, but her being a person. And the other four women? Maybe that's the point of including them in the genealogy. The birth narratives are not really about the baby Jesus, Joseph or Mary for that matter. They are about the Jesus whom we see in ministry and crucified under the banner of King of the Jews. This passage ends with the name giving. And the point of the name giving, well, as Pam pointed out, Jesus means God saves, and Emmanuel, God with us. And I'd like to finish with a quote from Bill Loder on this passage. Here it is. The Christmas stories always need connecting with the grown-up Jesus if they are not to be sentimentalised. Don't put tinsel around the cross at Christmas. The magic of angels and the virginal conception are the embellishments to enable us to celebrate that life of compassion and self-giving. In their own way, they give us the radical message of inclusiveness, of the women, of Gentiles, of the sexually suspected, of a pregnant girl. They lay before us the violence which grace can confront, the all-maleness, the righteous law observance, the willingness to abandon a pregnant girl, a murderous ruler, slaughtering children, the aspiration to kill the King of the Jews. We have to work hard from keep it from being all reduced to jingles to promote shopping sprees or being perpetuated as just a bit more Christian naivety in a world where the same geography and the same issues still exist.